So one of the things that happens when you are a pastor is when something big happens, you're faced with this decision of whether to go ahead and continue the sermon series that you planned weeks ago or do something different. Maybe do something that has something to do with what is going on in the world right now. And so that was what I was faced with today. Should I just, you know, toss this aside and find another scripture that I think can speak to us, or should I sit and wrestle with this scripture a little bit? So I made the decision to keep on going. After I read this scripture, I don't know how many times, a lot. And then I started at the first chapter of Judges and read all the way through this, and then the following couple chapters after this also. Because this is a text that's a little odd for us in today's, in our thinking and the way we think about things. And so I thought, oh man, what am I going to do with this? So anyway, I decided I'm going to plow forward. So here we go. So the Lord tells Gideon, you have too many people on your side. In other words, you are too well prepared. Well, what an odd thing to say to somebody as they're prepared to go into battle. I think I can go out on a limb and say that nobody in the military would ever utter those words, you are too well prepared, would they? And so it's kind of a curious thing, because why would they not want to be well prepared? So I'm going to talk a little bit about the context for our passage, and maybe it'll help put us in a place where we can figure this out together. So our passage today starts a lot like other passages that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks. The Israelites have kind of moved away from God again. They've done evil in God's sight. They're worshiping other gods. And they are stuck in this new land, and they're having a hard time. The other people, the Midianites and the Amalekites, they're coming in. They're destroying their crops. Every time they plant food, the other people come in. They destroy their crops, and they're really, really struggling. And so they are having a hard time in this new land that they've found themselves. And so they cry out to God, please help us. Why have you abandoned us? And send us somebody to help us. And from them, God chooses this person, this unlikely, fearful, reluctant, not sure if he's got his act together guy named Gideon. It's kind of a familiar story. It's a familiar pattern throughout the Old Testament, using unlikely people for leaders. God does that a lot. Gideon challenges God, and he says, I don't think I'm the person you want, you know? And he asked God, okay, well, if you give me some signs that will show me that you're really calling me and prove that you really mean this, I'll think about it. And so God does give Gideon several signs. That's in chapter 6, which we're not going to talk about today. But if you want to read it on your own, you can look at it. It has to do with fleece and dew and it being dry and the land being wet, and you can read that. It's kind of interesting. So God passes the test, and Gideon decides, okay, I'll give it a shot. And so that's where we are for this part of the story today. So we find the Israelites, the tables have turned. They are now going to attack the Midianites who have been attacking them and taking their land. And God says this very strange thing. You have too many soldiers. Let's winnow them down a bit. So first he has Gideon announce, anyone who's afraid or unsteady, may go home. And so 22,000 people get up and go home. And they leave 10,000 still there. So you're thinking, okay, 10,000, we can do it with 10,000. That's not too bad, right? And then God says, no, there's still too many of you. And then he tells Gideon to take them down to the water. And this is the part that's really weird. I will weed them out for you. I'll tell you who will go and who will stay. And then this is the part that's so bizarre. He says, depending on how they drink the water, I'll make a decision about who's going to go and who's going to stay. And so they go down there and the men drink the water. I don't know if it's men. It says people in our translation. So I imagine there were women as well. 300 lapped the water like dogs, and the rest of them kneeled down and brought the water up to their mouth. And God chooses the ones that lap the water like a dog. Don't ask me why. I do not know. It is so bizarre. Maybe because it was the fewer number. So there were only 300 of them that drank the water like that, and those are the 300 that God chose. So just imagine, they started out with 32,000, and now they are down to 1/10 that number. Less than 1/100 of that number of what they started with. Can you imagine what they must be feeling right about now? Yeah, scared, exactly. I don't think I would feel all that secure. So Gideon is like, oh man, why did I say yes to this? And I'm sure those 300 people were also thinking, these are not good odds. These are not good odds. And God knows this. God knows that Gideon is probably scared to death. And so he gives him a sign, and he tells him, go down to the camp, listen to what they're saying. And so Gideon and his servant Purah go down there, and they hear men talking about this dream, about this barley loaf that comes rolling into the camp and wipes them all out. And their interpretation of the dream is that the Israelites are going to come and they're going to win this battle. And so Gideon's like, okay, I think we can do this. He decides to trust God. And so the Israelites go down there. They've got trumpets and torches. It's the dead of the night. It is black, dark, dark as dark can be. You know, no street lights in those days. And so they surround the camp. They start blowing these trumpets. They're breaking jars, smashing things, and all of a sudden there's light. And he tells them, be sure to yell for the Lord and for Gideon as you attack. Why did Gideon tell them to yell for the Lord and for Gideon? Who is Gideon? How is he suddenly in the picture, putting himself on the same level as God? Interesting. He certainly got some courage there, doesn't he? So you know when you're fast asleep and you get woken, jarred awake, kind of like when there's an earthquake or your daughter decides to come and jump on your bed and scare you half to death? You know, so you're kind of discombobulated, aren't you? You're kind of like, huh, what's going on? Well, that's how those Midianites were. They were so confused. They didn't know what was going on, so they jump up and they just start running around. It says they were running away, and then they start attacking each other because they don't know who is who, and they're just like, you know, going at it. And the Israelites become victorious. Okay, so that's the story. So you remember at the beginning, God said to Gideon, you have too many people on your side. But what I didn't do was tell you the second part of that sentence. God said, you have too many people on your side. If I were to hand Midianites over to them, the Israelites might claim credit for themselves rather than me, thinking we saved ourselves. Other translations say, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. You know, that kind of goes against our modern day thinking, doesn't it? We are taught to be strong and self-reliant and independent. It's almost a virtue to not need anyone, isn't it? And we tend to look on others who are dependent as weak. So if we look at others as being weak, we look at dependency as being weak, is it weakness to depend on God? When we're going through a particular difficulty or challenge, do we rely on our own power or do we rely on God's power? Personally, if I'm honest, I would say that I probably function much of the time under my own power. And then when I get into trouble or hit a roadblock, all of a sudden my prayer life amps up a little bit. Not sure that's a good thing for a pastor to admit, but that's kind of, you know, I'm human just like everyone else. I'm getting better at it. But I think I will always have this tendency to try and do it myself, like many of us. We tend to rely on our own strength. And I think it's human nature, but I don't think it's what God wants for us. God wants us to rely on God's power, because otherwise we have this tendency to stray and to forget about God. And if you look at the patterns in the Old Testament, it happens time and time again. When people take their own life into their own hands without consulting God, they tend to move away from God. If we look at Gideon, Gideon is this fearful, uncertain person. God reassures him, gives him the confirmation he needs, extends grace to him. And before you know it, Gideon is going up against all odds. And then his ego gets the better of him. And he's yelling, "For the Lord and for Gideon!" He forgets to give God the glory. And if you keep on reading subsequent chapters, you'll see that Gideon gets himself in even more of a mess when he tends to go off script. So, if there's one thing I've learned, is that life gives us plenty of challenges and lessons to learn and relearn over and over. As a church, we were given a real life lesson 14 and a half months ago when the main sanctuary caught fire. In this subsequent time, I wonder if we truly have relied on God for guidance and strength, or if we've been operating under our own knowledge and our own power. Have we really been on our knees enough before God, admitting we don't know the answers, we don't know the way, and we need guidance and help? Have we just been plowing forward? Have we been praying enough? And now we're confronted with a strange new reality of this virus, where we watch people in other countries and in our own country here, and they're succumbing to this virus, and it's scary. And the statistics are staggering as experts project forward how many people might be affected. So what is our response as the people of God? How can this story that we've read today speak into our situation, either personally or what's going on a global level? If we look at this story, we see that all along the way, God was with Gideon. When Gideon was hesitant about his ability to be God's messenger, God gave him signs. When the odds were against them, Gideon and the people were gripped by fear, God again reassured them through the dream. And Gideon, although he was afraid, stepped out in faith. So whether we feel ill-equipped, full of fear, or that the odds are against us, we have a God, Emmanuel, God with us, who is with us every step of the way. I know that God has not called us to do anything or experience anything that God will not equip us to handle. God did not create us to be fearful people. God is going to call us into difficult situations, and we will need to rely on not ourselves, but on the one who equips and empowers and sustains and comforts and guides us. And then, in turn, it's our responsibility to be that for others. Each one of us here and out there in live streaming land, in all our Gideon imperfection, we are to be people who equip, empower, guide, comfort, sustain, and love those around us, while at the same time giving glory all to God. God, who has given us life and sends us out. May God be with us during this time and in the coming days. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we take heart with this story, for it encourages us to know that even when the odds are against us, even when we're fearful, even when we feel ill-equipped, that you are there for us, that you will guide us, that you will comfort us, that you will hold us in the palm of your hand, that you will strengthen us. And so we come before you giving you thanks for that word for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.